Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
At least early on, it appears even without former Governor Mitt Romney, the field of Republican candidates for president next year will be crowded. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker got a leg up in the last few days as they led the straw poll among conservatives at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference. What's the impact on the early race? For the answer to that question, we chatted with our regular political analyst, Democrat Dan Payne, and Republican Todd Domke, who says Scott Walker has positioned himself well.
Walker is respected by both establishment Republicans for winning and being pragmatic, and by Tea Party conservatives. So he went into CPAC with momentum, and he left with momentum.
Well, Scott Walker is the anti-Jeb Bush governor. He wants to bust state worker unions. He wants to loosen controls on guns. He wants to tighten restrictions on abortion. And he offers nothing but tough talk on the 12 million undocumented aliens that are in the United States.
Rand Paul, Dan Payne, some say he can't win voters who aren't conservatives or libertarians, but he did well here.
Well, he's the Pied Piper of the Tea Party at this convention, and generally speaking. I mean, he's the candidate of the true believers. Most of his supporters are young, and they are motivated by his message of no government, especially no government when it comes to legalizing marijuana, and no government sending them off to war.
Well, I heard Dan say earlier that he cast a pall over the convention, and certainly winning 1/4 in the straw poll showed that his young libertarians showed up yet again.
What's coming out on top do for both of these people?
Well, Walker needed proof that he does, in fact, have the credibility and the momentum. That helps him raise money. It helps him overcome some of the bad news coverage he had, along with a lot of good coverage. Rand Paul, if he had not won, that would have been a huge setback because he's won repeatedly before, and his father, Ron Paul, won there as well. So his coming in first was not as surprising as Scott Walker coming in a very strong second.
All right, let me keep running down the list. Ted Cruz, the Texas senator, came in third. I have to ask, when it comes to Ted Cruz, Dan Payne, is there another, you know, red meat candidate out there who can get the blood flowing among the grassroots conservatives better than Ted Cruz can?
Well, he's a tough debater, tough critic, but sooner or later he's going to have to face the birthers in his own party because he was born in Canada to an American mother. And xenophobes like Donald Trump are going to be all over Ted Cruz demanding that he prove that he's an American citizen and therefore qualified to run for president.
Well, Cruz said his ambition as a senator was to be a disruptive app in Washington, and he has succeeded in alienating about everyone, including many Republican members of the Senate. He seems to enjoy being a demagogue.
All right, Jeb Bush, former Florida governor, heir apparent to the Bush presidential dynasty, came in fifth. What does that reveal about his candidacy? Is he conservative enough for the GOP in this cycle?
Well, that was a very weak fifth place showing. He only got 8%, but he did well in media coverage. He showed some leadership in speaking out for immigration reform, but his campaign had to bus in a lot of people so it would look like he had decent support. Now, he called himself a practicing, reform-minded conservative, so he's still trying to appeal to conservatives, but his main message was that Republicans now need to start being for things.
Well, I think Jeb Bush's success is based on the fact that he didn't hurt himself, that while he finished fifth, he didn't say anything stupid. He got booed a little by the crowd. But as he looks forward to a general election and positions himself as a candidate who can win a general election, being booed by this crowd might not be a bad thing.
Marco Rubio, U.S. Senator from Florida, does he have a path to victory?
Well, this guy's got, in my mind, enormous potential. His problem is that he comes from Florida, Jeb Bush's home state, and he's untested. No one really knows much about Rubio. He's young. He looks young. But apparently in New Hampshire last week, he gave a speech that was very well received.
I think Marco Rubio is well positioned to come on strong if Bush or Walker falters. He may do well even if they don't. He's the most articulate of the candidates and talks at a faster pace so he can score more points per minute in a TV debate. And that's when he could take off in the debates, which began in September. He reminds me of Bill Clinton in 1992 when he was back in the pack for the Democratic nomination. But Clinton came on strong when he needed to, and I think Rubio has that kind of potential.
All right, I want to ask about New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Was he the biggest loser in this? He's had a few bad months. Can he recover and be considered a contender again?
I think he did all right in his Q&A with conservative Laura Ingraham, who asked him why people thought he was arrogant and thin-skinned. But he's been going down in the polls for many months. Many think he's no longer a major contender. And I agree. I don't think he has a unique message or can raise enough money to make a comeback.
Well, Chris Christie finished below Donald Trump in the straw poll, which is really kind of a humiliating outcome. He's not quite toast, but the press has the jelly ready for him.
Let's talk about other Republicans whose names keep popping up, Dan Payne.
Well, Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee and Rick Perry were there. I think they were losers, and no one cared much what they had to say. This is the second time around for all of them, and I don't see anybody running out on the dance floor to embrace them.
That's right. They all seem like old news, and most conservatives are eager to have someone new and electable.
All right. We're going to balance all this GOP talk out with one question about Hillary Clinton. She's not been campaigning. She's not taking questions. Is it smart of her to wait and hope that the Republicans self-destruct? And is that her calculation?
Well, right now, Hillary Clinton has no reason to engage the Republicans. They all attack her, so there's no reason for her to single out any one of them to respond to. Her problem isn't so much, at this stage anyway, isn't so much the Republicans. It's her own organization, where there are cliques and various factions, and they have to be sorted out. Plus, she's got to figure out a way to deal with her husband. The Republicans, at this stage, are not her concern.
Hillary also has to worry about the media. She can avoid questions from them about the scandal of the Clinton Foundation, accepting tens of millions from foreign governments while she was Secretary of State. But at some point, she'll have to face up and answer them.
Republican Todd Domke, thank you very much for coming in. Good to see you again.
Nice to be here.
Same to you, Democrat Dan Payne.
Happy to help.